Hello, Dove. Hello, everyone. Yeah, actually, I think it's a great picture of Dove. When he sent me the picture, I was like, wow, Dove, you look really handsome in this picture. It's a very, very nice picture of Dove. So it's worth going to the link just to look at Dove's picture. But good evening, everyone. We are here for Holy Spirit Guides. This is the time that we go back and we look at the old stuff. On reginadonacres.com. I'm noticing that Bill is complimenting me, and I'm getting a little bit shy. He's saying that I'm better looking than the picture, so I'm feeling a little bit shy, a little distracted right now. Let me gather myself back up. Let me give you a link to reginadonacres.com. And where we are tonight is we are in June of 2005. That's okay, Bill. You can embarrass me that way anytime you want. June 2005 is where we're at. In fact, we're going to be starting with Thursday, June 16th, 2005. So when you get to reginadonacres.com, you'll want to look at the archived months. There are many months there, so there's more than one June. So make sure you select June 2005. And then you'll want to click on previous entries just once, and then scroll down to Thursday, June 16th, 2005. The name of the first thing that we're going to look at is called I Don't Understand the Crucifixion. And as far as my life goes, we're getting into some pretty exciting times here, because at June 16th, I was only 2 weeks away from quitting my job and moving. I think I'm only a few days away now from receiving the calling to write NTI. I think that happened around mid-June. So there's a lot of stuff going on in my life around this time that we're looking at now. What I would like to do before we get started is I would like to turn everything that we're going to read over to the Holy Spirit. And I ask the Holy Spirit to please help us to see whatever it is that is helpful for us to see, and help us to realize whatever it is that is helpful for us to realize. And I want to take a moment to say thank you to you. I notice a lot of familiar names in the room, some of my mighty, mighty companions that are right there with me every day, walking with me every day, even reading the same things that I'm reading every day. And I'm really, really, really grateful to you for everything you do to help me. Thank you. Okay, so I will just begin reading, and then we'll trust that Holy Spirit will guide all of the comments. Of course, if any of you have anything that you want to say or ask, just raise your hand and I'll turn the mic over to you. And Steve is here with me on the phone, so if Steve has anything to hear, I'll put him on speaker. All right. I don't understand the crucifixion. So it looks like I had a question for the Holy Spirit. It seems that the crucifixion of Jesus was unfair. This, of course, was before I had my vision about the crucifixion, which maybe I'll talk about in a little bit. It seems that the crucifixion of Jesus was unfair. It seems that Jesus chose sacrifice so that we could all learn. On the other hand, we learn that God's justice is never unfair, and God does not require sacrifice. How is this seemingly horrific scene seen through the eyes of love? So let's find out what the Holy Spirit's answer was for me. The answer is simple if you remember that the world is not real. Now, knowing where my mind was in 2005, I probably wasn't very happy that the Holy Spirit started that way, because I had not yet accepted that the world was not real. So I got kind of ticked off whenever the Holy Spirit started that way. The answer is simple if you remember that the world is not real. It is an illusion made by the ego, which is the belief in separation. The belief maintains itself as that is its only purpose. The crucifixion is just a reflection of that one ego belief. It contains separateness, attack, and guilt, regardless of the angle you seem to be watching from. Now, when he says, regardless of the angle you seem to be watching from, I want you to know that he was speaking directly to my mind and how I had already been thinking about the crucifixion. I had looked at the crucifixion from the point of view of the apostles, as I imagined the apostles would look at it, and I thought it was unfair. I had looked at it from the point of view of, you know, maybe some of the onlookers, and I had imagined that either they thought it was cruel, or that they, you know, out of their own hatred, out of their own attack, really liked it. But, you know, again, I was seeing attack and hatred there. I had looked at it from the imagined point of view of the Roman soldiers, and again, saw hatred and attack. What I hadn't looked at it from the point of view of was Jesus. And I will tell you, that was one point of view I had not considered, and we'll talk about that a little later. But I had considered many points of view as I was looking at this, and every point of view that I looked at in my imagination, you know, all I saw was guilt, hatred, attack, you know, the idea of unfairness, victimization. That's all I could find in this story. So, the crucifixion is just a reflection of that one ego belief. It contains separateness, attack, and guilt, regardless of the angle you seem to be watching from. Whether you stand there watching for Jesus, like as an apostle, or against him, you know, like maybe as a Roman soldier, you find someone to see as separate from you, guilty, and worthy of attack. So again, no matter which angle I had looked at it from, I had an enemy, you know. And that's what Holy Spirit is just pointing out. He's just pointing out everything that I was seeing in this. Then he continues. Now I ask you to release your mind from all of these points of view, for they are all the same. Now, invite your mind to sit with love and watch this scene again. When you do, you will see confusion, for the ego's thought system can be nothing else. You will see no one as right and no one as wrong, for neither is present in love. You will see your brothers who wanted peace, security, and love for themselves, but they did not understand that it was within themselves. So whether they seemed to be for Jesus or against him, they were looking outside themselves for what they could never find there. So what he's really doing here is turning my heart to compassion. He's turning the dial on my heart to compassion. And what he's helping me to do is look at it from the same points of view that I've been looking at it, but now to see these people differently, to really start seeing them as myself. People who, of course, are confused by the ego mind, by the ego thoughts in the mind, but really just want the same things that we all want: peace, security, and love. And some of those people thought that they would find peace and security and love through Jesus. You know, looking outside of them, looking to Jesus as the Master, thinking he had something to give that they didn't. Other people thought that they would find peace, security, and love by getting rid of this guy, because they saw him as a threat to their thought system, and they thought they would find peace and security and love by not having their thought system threatened. So they wanted to get rid of him. But really, everybody was looking for the same thing. It's just they were looking in the wrong place. They were all looking outside of them. So Holy Spirit's just helping me to have a little bit of compassion here for this imagined audience in my mind. And then he continues. And this is what Jesus saw. Whether he looked in the eyes of his apostles or the hearts of the ones we call his enemies, he saw the same desires and the same confusion. And this is why he chose to teach this dramatic lesson. The kingdom of God is within. It is not in a man who walks and teaches and loves, nor is it in ridding the world of a man you see as a threat. Peace is within. So the symbol of Jesus was removed from the world of form and placed within our hearts, that we may learn the truth from ourselves. We are the answer we seek. Amen. And it's not very often that Holy Spirit ends something that he teaches me with amen. Very seldom, as a matter of fact. But when he does, what I really understand is that he is saying a prayer for me, that this is something that he wants me to accept. And so he's saying a prayer for me. And so he is really asking me to look within, to look within for all of my answers, not to look outside of me to any symbols for answers. Now, this does not mean that, you know, I don't listen to teachers or that I don't read books, because I do a little bit. I do a little bit, and back then I did a lot more. But again, I've talked to you about this many times. The guidance as to what teachers to listen to, what books to read, always comes from within. Not from the thinking mind, but from the guidance within, the guidance that is intuition or the guidance that is heart or the guidance that is Holy Spirit. And when I'm listening to a teacher or reading a book, I might not take all of it. There may be some things that really stand out for me from this guidance within to take and make a part of mine. And there may be other things I am guided to leave, just to leave behind. Just like, you know, an ego thought in the mind. When an ego thought passes through my mind, I'm guided not to listen to it. Well, I may be guided not to listen to something in a book, but that doesn't mean I don't listen to other things in the same book. Or I may be guided not to listen to something a particular teacher says, but that doesn't mean I don't listen to other things that same teacher says. So the guidance always comes from within. And this is really the lesson that Holy Spirit wanted me, and of course all of us, to learn, to trust myself. There is a knowing in me that I can trust. Even as a little bitty baby, a little bitty baby on the spiritual path. And what I mean is that I'm very new. My willingness is very small. I hear the Holy Spirit hardly at all and may not even recognize that I'm hearing the Holy Spirit. Even then, that I can trust is still in me. I know, I always know when to listen and when not to. I made the mistake in the past, and I think probably others make the mistake too, of listening to something that my inner voice is telling me not to listen to, because I'm not trusting myself, because I'm feeling unworthy, and because I'm thinking this one outside of me must know more than I do. And so I, against what we might call my better judgment, but really it's guidance, I listen anyway. But we all know that when we've done that, that later somehow we learned a lesson that went back to, if I had just listened to myself in the first place, I knew. I knew. And this is what Holy Spirit wants us to do. He wants us to trust that guidance system that we all have within us, that one that knows. It tells us exactly what to listen to, what not to listen to. And then we aren't attached to any symbols outside of us. We're looking in the only place that we need to look, and that is within. So this was something Holy Spirit really wanted me to get at this particular time. And now that this is history, we can imagine why. Because as I mentioned, within the next few days, I received the guidance to read the New Testament and to allow the Holy Spirit to interpret it through me. And of course, as you guys know, that ended up to be quite a piece of work that took a long time to write and was quite profound. And in the process of doing that work, I wrote a lot of things that a lot of people were disagreeing with. I would receive, sometimes you might even call it hate mail via email, especially in the beginning. That actually died out as we got deeper into the writing. But in the very beginning, I would receive lots of hate mail, people every day telling me that I was very, very wrong. And I really had to learn to listen to that voice inside that just kept telling me to keep trusting and keep writing, and I had to keep going in spite of the voices outside of me that were, you know, literally I had one person criticizing line by line everything I wrote and sending it back to me every day. So you can see what an important lesson this interpretation of the crucifixion was for me, that the lesson of the crucifixion was to always look within and to trust within and to be guided within. So what I'm going to do is just let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything they want to share before we move to the next writing. All right, then, let's scroll up. Ooh, what are evil spirits? This is a good one, too. I have a story. Oh, you know what? I didn't tell you guys about my Jesus vision. Why don't I do that before we continue with what are evil spirits? Some of you may know this story, but I don't know if all of you do. When I was writing the Holy Spirit's interpretation of Matthew, and I got to the end of the book of Matthew, to the crucifixion scene, while I was writing the crucifixion scene, I had a vision. And what Holy Spirit did for me in this vision was he picked me up and he put me on the cross. So I was actually in Jesus's position. I had Jesus's bird's eye view during the crucifixion, which was, as I mentioned, the point of view I hadn't looked at it from. And during this vision, you know, my body's eyes, my eyes saw everything that the Bible story talks about. I saw soldiers casting lots for my clothes. I saw, you know, some people crying, very few crying and mourning the fact that I was on the cross. I saw a lot of angry people, people swearing at me. There were some people that were throwing stones at me. There was a road out in the distance, not too far, and there were just people going by on the road with their bundles or their carts and not even looking at me, like, you know, trying to pretend like, you know, that hill wasn't there with the crosses and the people hanging there, you know, just going by and not looking. You know, I saw all of this with my eyes. But what was really, really interesting about that particular vision was the way I felt. It was incredible. It was absolutely incredible. It was gratitude that is beyond expression, gratitude that's really beyond the word gratitude. It was this humongous gratitude because I knew beyond all doubt that everything my body's eyes were showing me was not true. I knew it completely. And I also knew completely the love of God, knew completely the truth. And I was so happy, so overjoyed, so grateful to be having that experience. It was in no way what we would call a crucifixion, or in no way what we would call a sacrifice. In fact, it would be more likely to call it the orgasmic end of the dream. It would be much better. It was like everything that I had always wanted, everything that I had always wanted all of my life, now on the cross, this was it. I was receiving it. It was total. And in fact, now after that experience, that's what I imagine when Jesus says the words, "It is done." I mean, because that's it. It is done. It is total. It was perfect. It was perfection. So that is the vision that Holy Spirit gave me about the cross, which of course is much different than the attitude that I imagined when I asked this question. So, what are evil spirits? This also has a story to it. In February of 2005, I remember I was still working then, and I went on a strategic offsite for my business where we were going to be doing business planning for the upcoming year, and we stayed in an old mansion. We would go on these offsites, you know, actually a few times a year, and we would stay always in nice places, get away from the everyday business and just do planning. So we were staying in this mansion for 2 or 3 days, and the majority of us were staying on the third floor of the mansion. There were 2 women that were staying on the 4th floor of the mansion. And these were women that I knew very well and had known for years. One was my boss, and the other one was a coworker of mine, a director of a similar department. They were the only 2 on the 4th floor. And what happened after the first night at breakfast, my boss arrived at breakfast first, and she started telling a story about a really awful dream she'd had the night before in her room in the mansion. She had a dream about a man she described him. He was a bald man. He was big and he was completely bald, and he was dragging a woman by the ankles. And she started telling this story, and as she was telling it, this other woman walked into the room and started listening. But anyway, the man in the dream was dragging a woman by the ankles, and my boss just, you know, wanted so much to help that woman. And so my boss went over and tried to help the woman in the dream, and what happened is somehow she got scooped up and was being dragged off too, and that was her dream. But what was amazing about it is this other woman that walked in while my boss was telling the story, she said, "Oh my God, that was me." You know, and everybody's like, "What?" And she goes, I had the same dream. She said, but in my dream, I was being drug off. Some man had me, and he was dragging me by my ankles, and I was screaming and screaming and wanting someone to help me, and no one could help me. And then she also said that at some point, she woke up from the dream, and she was literally levitating 6 inches from the ceiling in her room, and that she screamed and then fell to the bed. And these are women, again, that I really knew. So when they told me these stories, it freaked me out. Especially as a new core student, and I think many of you know that as new core students, there's a lot of confusion in our mind. I mean, you know, we're so unclear when we first begin studying the course. So, you know, I'm trying to tell myself there's no such thing as evil. And at the same time, these two women that I really trust had this experience that seemed to be evil. And I was very confused about it. So I did come into Pal Talk, and I did ask a teacher in Pal Talk about that, and I was given an answer. But to be honest, the answer wasn't satisfactory to me. So what happened is the question hung in my mind for a very long time. There just wasn't an answer about, you know, what had happened, what this experience was in this mansion. Then what happened on Friday, June 17th, is on the Peace of God, another person came to the Peace of God with a experience and asked the question, what is evil spirits? And I saw that as a prompt for me to finally get the answer to my question, for me to go to Holy Spirit and ask this question, not only for this person on the Peace of God, but for me, since I had the open question in my mind. So I went to the Holy Spirit and I said, someone has asked, do you know of any way to get out evil spirits? That was a quote. The person's first language may not have been English. Do you know of any way to get out evil spirits? What would you like to share in response to this question? So that is what I asked the Holy Spirit. And here is the Holy Spirit's answer. Hold on one second. I need a drink of water first. Evil spirits are a projection of the mind that believes in separateness. In this way, evil spirits are no different than seeming evil behaviors in the world. Death is no different than life. All confusion and all fear comes from the ego. And although the forms may seem different to you, they are all the same, so the answer is always the same. And those of you that, you know me now a little better, of course you know about the message that I received in September or October of this year about the code, which of course is a very complex but wonderful message that helps us to understand the illusion a lot better. And you know that in the code, Holy Spirit says, all things are ideas. All things are ideas. And he goes into a lot of detail of explaining that to us. But really he's saying the same thing here. All things are ideas. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's a child hitting another child, whether it seems to be an evil spirit in a haunted mansion. They're all just ideas in the mind. There's no difference. They're all just ideas in the mind. This is what he's saying. Then he continues. Once again, I ask you to remember that there are only two. And this time I will clarify that those two are truth and illusion. So there's only two ideas in the mind. You know, it looks like many, but there are only two. And one idea is the reflection of truth. The other idea is pure illusion. Everything that isn't truth is illusion. And the answer is accepting the truth and freeing the mind from illusion. And we can see how completely consistent the Holy Spirit remains, because you also know that I received a message in October of this year called Zero Code is Zero Code. And of course, Zero Code is the message that Bill and Laurent and I gave to false ideas. And then the Holy Spirit used that language. He said, Zero Code is Zero Code, or false ideas are false ideas. And then the Holy Spirit went on to say in that message, there is nothing other to learn. All we have to do is learn that the false is false, and we're done learning. And this is why he's also recently given us this phrase that many of us are using, not true, only belief. He's teaching us to teach ourselves that the false is false. And that's what the Holy Spirit is saying in the same message about evil spirits. Once again, I ask you to remember that there are only two, And this time I will clarify that those two are truth and illusion. Everything that isn't truth is illusion. And the answer is accepting the truth and freeing the mind from illusion. One point of confusion regarding illusion is caused by the illusion itself. You see yourself as separate and believe yourself to be an individual. So when I speak about projection, you are thinking as an individual that if it is your projection, others would not witness it. And especially with the story that I'm talking about with the two women in the mansion. You know, he's absolutely right. I was very confused about the idea of projection, the idea of, you know, there's nobody else out there, because I was coming from the perspective of an individual. And so I could see how one person, you know, like my boss, might project ego thoughts and experience this dream. But I could not see how a completely different person, and notice that really means separate person, would share in that same projection. It's so I was very, very confused about that because of the belief of separation and therefore the belief in separate projections. And so when two people seem to share the same bizarre experience, something in me was screaming, it must be real then. If it was just a projection of the mind, they wouldn't both have experienced it. And this is really what Holy Spirit is going after here. Again, one point of confusion regarding illusion is caused by the illusion itself. You see yourself as separate and believe yourself to be an individual. So when I speak about projection, you are thinking as an individual that if it is your projection, others would not witness it. Because the projection is also witnessed by others, you think it must be real. But this confusion is based on the belief in separateness. You will not be confused if you remember there is only one mind and all projections proceed from it. The you think you are proceeds from this source. And as long as you continue to identify with its basic belief, you will experience its seeming effects, regardless of the form. So, again, Holy Spirit is reminding us, are reminding me in particular at this time, that there's only one mind and all projections proceed from it. And in fact, much later, I believe in the fall of 2006, Holy Spirit gave me a great message. In fact, it was in November of 2006. Holy Spirit gave me a great message which really clarified this for me once and for all. And what I saw, I don't remember the words in that message, but I remember, you know, what I was realizing as I was writing the message. What I saw, for example, is if we were separate, if we were truly separate, separate minds, then projecting and making a world, I realized suddenly we would have different worlds. For example, maybe I would think it's raining outside and my neighbor would have a sunshiny day. If we were projecting from separate minds, since the world is not real, we would literally experience different worlds. The reason my neighbors and I both experience a rainstorm when the rainstorm doesn't truly exist is because it's one mind. We're experiencing that one mind. That is literally what the Holy Spirit called shared communication. The rainstorm is shared communication. The mountain is shared communication. We are sharing in one mind where that mountain is. And this is why Jesus told us in the Bible that with a little bit of faith, we could literally move mountains. He didn't mean the individual, but the one mind. He was speaking to the directly to the mind. If you had a little bit of faith in who you are, you could literally move mountains. Because the reason we experience the mountain where we do is because of the shared communication and the agreement in our one mind. And if we had a shared communication and agreement in our one mind that said the mountain's going to be in the middle of Kansas now, the mountain would move to the middle of Kansas like that. So this is the kind of stuff that Holy Spirit is beginning to teach me in this message. But of course, as you know, I didn't get it for quite a long time after that. About what are we looking at? About another year and a half, it looks like, before I started to really get it. So I'm just going to read the second half of that paragraph again, see if there's anything else I want to discuss. You will not be confused if you remember there is only one mind and all projections proceed from it. the you you think you are proceeds from this source. So he's talking about the personality. And as long as you continue to identify with its basic belief, you will experience its seeming effects, regardless of the form. This is actually very reminiscent of the message we received this week, right, about the personality, the one we received on Sunday, where the Holy Spirit told us that as long as we believe in the personality, we're going to believe in guilt or believe that we are wrong, because that is inherent in the personality. So this is what Holy Spirit is really saying here, the exact same thing. He continues to be consistent. As long as I continue to think I'm the you I think I am, I'm going to continue to experience the effects of the ego. What I need to do is let go of thinking that I am Regina Dawn Akers. What I need to do is let go of thinking I am the personality. And in fact, as you all know, this week he has asked us to will for that by asking us to will for seeing that we are not in control. This is a step he's asked us to take this week, to will for seeing that we are not in control. And he said as we start to notice that we are not in control, there's an automatic doing that happens through us. The idea that we are this independent personality will be loosened in the mind. The Holy Spirit continues. The good news is that the answer has already been given, and that answer is within you. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all else will be given, because all illusions will fade away, including the illusions of evil spirits. They are illusion, and they cannot harm the truth of who you are. Turn inside and ask your Father for help. Await in peace his answer. It will come, for the answer is already yours. So that was the Holy Spirit's answer on evil spirits, and that did take care of that particular question for me. I'm okay with evil spirits now, just because I realize all things are the same, and that includes evil spirits, that all things are ideas. So once again, I'll let go of the mic and see if anybody has... I hear Steve. Yeah, here's Steve.
Can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay,
yeah, I was actually listening for the last 40-some minutes, and the last thing you shared about it was interesting, because Dave Hodges and I, and I don't know, I think Harriet was there, and half a dozen or a dozen other people, I think Rihanna, Dorothy was there, and they all had that long of awakening, and he was saying, like, even aging only works because we believe in it, you know? If we give up the idea of aging, it wouldn't even have any effect. And I was just, I drove Lori's car for a little while last night, and she's playing those Life and Times of the Masters of the Far East or something like that, you know, and some of these people are 200, 400, 600, 800 years old and older and stuff, you know. It's just because they've given up the belief in aging. And right after aging, he talks about senility, and he says, well, as long as you believe in aging, then senility follows really closely. You know, I mean, if you believe you're old, then you believe that memory fades and et cetera, et cetera. And I thought it was really interesting when he talked about Alzheimer's. He said Alzheimer's is kind of like one flew over the cuckoo's nest, where 90-some percent of those people had committed themselves to the mental institution because they couldn't handle the dream. You know, and Alzheimer's is a way of, an acceptable way of seeming to commit like suicide. You just can't stand the pain anymore, so you start believing you can't handle the pain, and then your memory fades and stuff like that, which I thought was really interesting. What you're saying with the zero code seems like it comes down to, for me, usually when I hear you say that, is like nothing from nothing leaves nothing, you know, or nothing really exists, nothing unreal. Nothing real can be threatened, nothing unreal exists, therein lies the peace of God. It seems like it always comes down to that, you know, no matter how we do it, it just seems like that's the bottom line is, it says numerous times, it's like, it's which thought system are you believing? Whichever one you're believing in, that's the one you're going to reinforce, and that's the one you're going to strengthen. Just like when you say, the more people that seem to hear it when you share and teach on Pal Talk, it's like the stronger that idea gets reinforced in the course. And that's what I was trying to say earlier about the shared dream. And I remember when you were even talking that one time, about the master teacher and the little girl, you know, and then we read that paragraph 7 from lesson 193. It's like, the whole dream is shared, so how do you know if this is your lesson or somebody else's, you know? And it says, if the pain feels real in the dream, then it's your lesson. There's an unforgiveness that you haven't healed and stuff like that, you know. And if the pain doesn't feel real, then again we're back to the idea of, I think, a vision that you got, like having the television on in the background but not paying attention to it, you know. And the other thing that when you were mentioning the crucifixion earlier, in which I didn't, when I got to my dad's house, I had to shovel a whole bunch of frozen snow cones, basically two or three feet high. It was all like chopping ice. But that's very similar. I mean, the way you were describing the crucifixion was very similar to that vision you had that Holy Spirit gave you when you were a Jewish man in the crowd when Jesus was speaking to the multitudes. It's like, you know, 90-some% of the people never understood what he was saying, and he could have been perceived as a raving lunatic for the way he was talking at that time, you know. And then I think the message was that completely trusting Holy Spirit was having the willingness to be perceived as a raving lunatic, you know. And I think from what you described in your experience being, you know, in the body of Jesus when he was going through that, sounds like most of the people did feel that he was kind of a raving lunatic. They didn't want to look at him. They were afraid to look at him and stuff like that. So, yeah, I've been listening for the last 45 minutes, and quite a bit of stuff came up, and I had to stay muted because I had stuff to do outside, and I was driving and stuff. So, yeah, it seems like it all really flows together. That zero code sounds like nothing real can be threatened, nothing unreal exists. Therein lies the peace of God. You know, that's just what it seems like it would represent to me, you know, that nothing from nothing is still nothing. And that's why when we were reading last week that part in the dream rolls where it says, like, the dreams you think you like can be as much of a hindrance to you as the dreams you know you fear. You know, the ones that you're aware that you fear, they're like, it's like, I don't know how to describe it. It's like, I guess the dreams you think you like would be like friends you trust, and then it's like, what do they say, like, you'd rather spend more time with the enemies because you know where they're coming from, than the dreams you think you like are actually as much of an enemy as the dreams you think you fear, but it's just much more subtle or indirect and stuff like that, you know. So I think that's most of what I had to share, but if you need to take another water later, I'll find that.
Yeah, thank you. I did take a drink of water while you were talking. Does anybody else have anything they want to share before we move forward?